Prepare to hear scripture read, let us join together in a prayer for illumination. We have gathered before your word, O God. We want to hear with understanding, so give us attentive ears. And by the power of your Holy Spirit at work in the word, read and proclaimed, make the words of our mouths and meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, as Leah mentioned, we are reading from the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 19, which is our first scripture reading. And Psalm 19 is a song of David giving glory to God's perfect creation and law. Let us listen to the words that give praise to God above. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. And like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent, and do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our second reading from the Bible this morning comes from the letter that Paul wrote to the people of Corinth in chapter 12, verses 12 through the first part of verse 31. In the verses prior to this passage, Paul writes about the manifestation of the Spirit given to God's people through spiritual gifts. The verses that we read or hear today remind God's people of the importance of offering our individual gifts together to the glory of God. No one in God's kingdom has an inferior gift or skill. Let us listen to what God reveals to us today. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, well, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet there is one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but then members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it, and if one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Paul was all about unity in the Christian community. His letter to the church in Corinth was about how they can get along with one another and care for one another and live life together the way that God intended. And by the way, the Christians in Corinth, the Corinthians, really needed to hear this. Scholars believe there were numerous letters, more than the two letters that are included within the Bible, that Paul sent to the people to correct their wrong way of living. They needed help to create a godly community, just as we all need help today. In this chapter of his first letter, Paul writes about spiritual gifts and how we use them to glorify God. He also talks in this passage, as we just heard in the verses I read, about how every person's gift is useful and necessary in the body of Christ. In essence, Paul was concerned about the way in which God's people were using their time. Was time being used to glorify themselves, or was it to glorify God? Well, you and I are so inundated with tips on time management, apps on our phones that promise to keep us on task, and a wide selection of yearly planners at our local Walmart or Dollar Tree we have access to. And so I guess you could say there's no excuse not to be productive or effective in our daily lives. And yet, it seems that we keep struggling with that, struggling to fill our days with meaning rather than fruitless tasks that take from us time and money and satisfaction. Paul might say the only true meaning in our lives are the moments in which we use our God-given abilities to build up the kingdom of God. Everything else might feel productive, but honestly doesn't have any kingdom value. Elizabeth Grace Saunders has written an article in the Harvard Business Review with the title, "Are You Proud of How You're Spending Your Time?" She urges, in her article, for us to stop doing what seems to be most urgent and start intentionally investing in what's important. There is a word used to describe the time that we spend focusing on unimportant tasks. They call it shadow work. And one of the dangers of shadow work is that it keeps us from spirit work that builds the kingdom of God here on earth. You see, there's a difference between what is most urgent and what is most important. Saunders encourages us to prioritize family and friends and take vacations and stay healthy and finally know ourselves. In my experience, she writes, it's so easy to lose track of who you are, what you enjoy, what you are in, where you are in life, and where you're going, unless you're purposely and intentionally taking time to reflect. It seems like the Apostle Paul is also concerned about shadow work, which is why he writes letters to the Christians in Corinth about the gifts of the Spirit. Because he wants them and he wants us to be aware of how they are spending their time and to make sure that they're focusing on the Spirit work that they can accomplish as members of the body of Christ. Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak." Amazing, isn't it, how the truths of the Bible can leap the centuries and speak to us exactly where we are today. We are still enticed and led astray, maybe not by Greco-Roman idols, but by emails, watching television, criticizing, or maybe worrying about our future. And so, like the Christians of Corinth, we focus more on what feels urgent rather than what is really important in the kingdom of God. Now, there are varieties of gifts, says Paul, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Now, notice that Paul is not saying that Spirit work is limited to a single gift, service, or activity. No, instead, he's lifting up the fact that there are varieties of gifts and services and activities. What unites this distinctive kind of work is that it all comes to us from the same divine source. And what source is that? Well, Paul says that each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Spirit work comes from one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it serves the common good. And when we grasp this, we move from shadow to Spirit work. So what does this work look like? Well, oftentimes shadow work is the work, the activities that you do by yourself, but Spirit work is work done in community. Paul says that to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. New Testament scholar C.K. Barrett suggests that the utterance of wisdom might deal with ethical matters, while the utterance of knowledge includes theological matters. And so ethics talks about what we should do, while theology talks about what we should believe. Both doing and believing are important work, and both serve the common good. Ethical actions need to support our theological beliefs. Otherwise, people will rightly accuse us of being hypocrites. So we cannot just say that we love our neighbors, we must actually perform acts of love. And we can't simply believe in forgiveness, we must forgive those who have hurt us. And we can't only talk about justice, we have to do justice. And we can't just complain about our church, we have to help God's church to be a blessing. Spirit work assures people that God is real. Through simple actions, it shows people that God is present in the lives of members of the Christian community. And so it is our actions, our time spent alone or with others, should always point to the fact that God is real and that God loves us all. Within the church, some are given gifts of healing by the one Spirit, says Paul, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. This list describes a variety of skill sets or gifts that are in the believer's toolbox. The skills range from healing to the interpretation of spiritual languages. The point is not that any one of these gifts is superior to the others, but that all are activated by one and the same Spirit, says Paul, who gives to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. Now, sometimes the scale of these gifts is very small. Our spirit work may simply be calling a friend we know that's been sick with the flu, or walking across the street to deliver soup to new parents, or inviting someone we know to attend church with us. Simple acts of kindness enable us to be the hands and the feet of Christ rather than choosing work that distracts us from significant meaning in our lives. That spirit work, what would fit under Paul's categories of healing, discernment of spirits, maybe even the working of miracles, and spirit work serves the common good and builds up the Christian community. It is our challenge to clear away our shadow work so that the gift of the Spirit can be put to use. This might not seem to be the most urgent of work, but it is usually the most important life-sustaining work. Identifying our spiritual gifts and using them to build the kingdom of God is work that is critical. In a world that has been rocked by a pandemic we never expected or ever truly feel equipped to navigate. Don't know your spiritual gift? Well, I want you to come and see me. I'll be happy to give you an assessment to help you define your gift or gifts. But Paul doesn't write this letter, or this part of this letter, with the purpose of encouraging God's people to know their gift. That's not the only reason. The second part is just as important as we have read in our passage today. Because what Paul understood is that a healthy community included the participation of all members, sharing their gifts for the spread of the gospel. And so the good news about spirit work is that it energizes us and connects us to one another. Instead of feeling exhaustion and isolation, when we engage in spirit work, we begin to experience inspiration and community and unity. We discover the truth of what Paul says to the Corinthians, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Energy, connection, inspiration, community, unity. These are the benefits of replacing shadow work with spirit work. Which leads me to think about, honestly, the number of people listed as members in this church who, for whatever reason, are not engaging their spiritual gifts in the body of Christ that God has created among us. It's not at this point to bring any shame to them, but it's a curiosity that I know I'm not the only one that has it or thinks of it. We all wonder why there are people who are members of the church not engaging with us as a body of Christ. The reality is that we do need the engagement of all members. And it's not for our benefit. In many ways, it's for theirs. If we truly believe that activity among a church community brings forth inspiration and community and unity. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of life that brings me exhaustion and isolation, only more heightened by a pandemic. I've experienced that blessing of being a part of a community. And so I think there are those among our membership who feel disconnected from us. So how do we connect them back to our community again? Well, honestly, for some, physical distance makes it difficult for them to engage with this community, and that's understandable. But there are other Christian communities physically closer to them in which they can share their God-given gifts. And might I dare say that we give them encouragement and permission to find a Christian community where they live and work. And that doesn't mean that they won't be welcomed when they visit our church community. And honestly, reconnecting members to our community doesn't mean that we promise anything to them that we can't provide. We aren't a country club. I'm not the activities director. And as I said, we're not a country club in which member privileges are our focus or our sole focus. Our focus is upon kingdom building and sharing the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ is our mission and our purpose. So sometimes it means doing difficult work by gently reminding those who have gone away angry from a past situation or a person in the church and to encourage them to come back and seek reconciliation. Sometimes it does involve us listening to someone separated from full church involvement and listen as they share what they no longer like about this church, but then kindly reminding them that it's their presence that we need for any change that they may want to occur. Now, some of these situations are what I'll be talking to our elders and deacons about as we gather for our first day retreat next month. And I acknowledge that it's hard work, but brothers and sisters in Christ, it is godly work to live out the purpose God calls us to go and invite our brothers and sisters in Christ to come and reunite with our kingdom work. It's hard work, but it's necessary work in our growth as disciples. And it's going to take more than just our officers to engage in encouraging members to return to active participation in the body of Christ. It's going to take you and it's going to take me to engage in that work. Over the next several Sundays, my sermons will be talking more about the intention of living in community with one another. And I'm praying that God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, will help us all to discern how we reconnect with members who have been absent from our community. Are there some disconnected members that you talk to casually outside of church? There could be. So how about intentionally asking them to return to active participation? It's hard work, but it's godly work. May we all move together from shadow to spirit work, replacing the earthly with the heavenly and the urgent with the important. When we do this, we will find ourselves closer to God and closer to Jesus, closer to each other, and better able to serve the common good. Spirit work is dependent on the willingness of us all to use the spiritual gifts that we have been given and blessed with, and to use them with much joy and determination and faith. Faith in the one Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand with me as we join in our song of praise, He Knows My Name. Friends, please remain standing as we join together in affirming our faith by reading together from Romans chapter 8, selected verses. We believe there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. We are convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. As we join together in prayer for all God's people and the world around us in which God created, I do encourage us all to remember in our prayers those who are listed in our prayer guide. Let us pray. God of prophets and apostles, you call us to restore that which is broken and to proclaim your vision of a world made new. Create in us new hearts and strong voices as we pray. We pray for those who have been anointed or chosen as leaders of people, that they may attend to your voices of their people, they may attend to the voices of their people and be guided by you. We pray for pastors and church officers and teachers of the church that they may faithfully interpret your word for others. Healing Spirit, we pray for those who are poor and in need of assistance and for ourselves that we may open our hearts to their cries for help. And we pray for those with physical challenges and spiritual struggles. Make us agents of healing and hope and fill us with the power of your Spirit. We pray for those who are captives of war and the victims of violence. May we bring them good news in both word and deed. Almighty God, reveal to us the spiritual gifts that you have given to us so that we may use them to glorify you. Help us and enable us to have meaningful conversations with those who need welcomed into our community that you have established within our church. And remind us and those we know that have not been present that we are needful parts in the body of Christ. God of the Jubilee, make us the body of the risen Christ, united in all our diversity. Animate us by your Holy Spirit that together we may work toward your coming kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us give generously from that which has been given to us, that through our offerings the good news of Jesus Christ may be fulfilled. Let us give with grateful hearts. Your offering today can be placed in the plates at the entrances to the sanctuary.